Hey, it's Ralph here. Q1 is now closing and it probably didn't go as well as you had hoped, but I'm sure your agency is probably telling you that they crushed it. But in reality, it crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you are, if there's something wrong, but you can't quite put your finger on what that thing is, go on over to tier11.com/apply and we'll set you up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business. Not just metrics that make us agencies look good, but something that actually moves the needle and makes you more money, acquires more new customers, and ultimately achieves your vision. Head on over to tier11.com/apply today.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wouters and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprague. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT. Hello and welcome to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast.
The show where we talk about marketing, business, and digestive enzymes.
I'm Ralph Burns, the founder of Tier 11.
I'm Qasim Aslam, the co-founder of The Driven Mastermind.
And we are very glad, you might be not so glad, that you joined us today.
We'd also love for you to come hang out in our new Telegram channel. Go to perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram.
Enough of this digestive enzyme talk, Qasim. Let's get into the show here. So what is on your mind these days? We're going to do a little bit more of a off-the-cuff, no agenda. It's like an agenda-free Friday. I have a local radio station here that they say, it's an agenda-free Friday. I've always sort of loved that. And it's some of the best shows that they do. Even though it's not Friday for us, when this airs, may or may not be a Friday, but what's on your mind these days? Obviously, you're making this transition from being a agency owner to now being a mastermind MC extraordinaire. And I will say, you are very good at that.
Go on, Ralph.
You know, as the grandfather here of I guess it was Alicia that I said, I'm sort of like her grandfather. I'm like, you're her father. That would make, you know, Ryan Dice the great-great-grandfather. It's great for me to see how you've come into that role. You've blossomed in that role. And it's a lot of fun to see it. And obviously, we talk about a lot of stuff that goes on in Driven Mastermind, which is the misfit millionaires. And the Perpetual Traffic listener does benefit from that, from all the smart people that are in that group. I mean, God damn it, it's intimidating, I think, sometimes for me, which is great. I love being the stupidest guy in the room.
Yeah, I always want to be the dumbest, poorest person in every room I'm in. That's the goal. I think that should be everybody's goal. That's where you really get stretched, you know?
It's how you stretch. It's how you learn. That's how you grow. I don't mind challenging people when it comes to something that I disagree with in that group. And even for the people that I really respect and I think they're super smart, I will disagree with them. Everyone is just cool. There's healthy debate that goes on about certain topics and then really, really important stuff that obviously helps all of us, not just necessarily business related, a lot of sort of personal development sorts of things. But what have you been up to as you're making this transition? What's top of mind for you these days?
I'm going to Argentina. I'm going in just a few days. Buenos Aires, specifically.
Yeah. Do you have to say Aires?
I try to I figure that's the way a native Argentinian says it. And so I'm trying to be respectful, but then I feel a little self-conscious because I don't get the accent down. So I'm like, am I mocking or am I, is this cultural appropriation or is this adherence? Yeah. I don't know where the line is, Ralph.
I don't know where it is either. A friend of mine joined this group called Palazzo. And I'm like, that's not really it because I'm married to an Italian. That's Palazzo.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel disingenuous.
Too, I feel.
Yeah, but I'm an Irish white guy from Boston. I don't have
an Italian accent. But you're married to an Italian.
I'm married to a Jewish Italian, by the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
which is the ultimate Italian.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like the forbidden fruit of the Italians. But so anyway, so you're in Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. Yeah. We're starting a recruiting agency and Argentina specifically produces the most economists in the world per capita. It has a number of college graduates per capita. We're starting in Argentina and Colombia. And so I'm going to head down there and I just want to shake hands, kiss babies. I've made the mistake in the past of working in geographies that I didn't really get to know. I was in the Philippines for a long time without ever having gone to the Philippines.
Me neither. Yeah.
And in retrospect, I think that that was a catastrophic error. There was a lot about the culture that I just didn't know. There were things I didn't learn. There were relationships I didn't build. And for the cost of a plane ticket and a couple of days in a hotel and a fun vacation, you get to really get belly to belly with folks. If you're going to do any substantive amount of work or business anywhere, I think it makes a lot of sense to just get up and go, carve out the time and go.
Yeah, I agree. And the name of the show here is Perpetual Traffic, but I mean, we're not limited to traffic. We talk about business. I think this is actually this arbitrage of international talent is the way that I look at it. People say, oh, you're outsourcing. It's un-American. Like if I talk to my brother about this, he'd be like, that's un-American. You can't do that.
That's my uncle.
You're stealing American jobs. Come on. You're stealing American jobs and sending them over to overseas. My brother doesn't talk like that, by the way.
Yeah. My uncle talks like that.
But it's funnier to think that he talks that way because I had a conversation with him last night that I'm still pissed about. But anyway, the point is this, is that there are opportunities. I'm a global business. I don't really care where I employ people as long as they fulfill the core values of Tier 11. They get what we're trying to do. They understand the vision, where they are, what color they are, what their political beliefs are, what their religious beliefs are. I don't care. That's what a global organization is all about. Yes, we are a US-based company. We pay taxes in the US, which I'd love to figure out a way to not do that. But the point is we're kind of stuck right now, or a Delaware Corp, an LLC now, Tier 11. We've done all kinds of different tax stuff. But the point is there's a lot of talent outside of the US. And to your point, and this is parallel lines, me and you right now, which is really interesting because I don't think we've actually talked about this, is that our HR guy, even though that's not really what he is, he just loves to be called the HR guy. He's got an actual title, which is a cooler title, but I just call him the HR guy. We are now looking at Colombia because we found in Colombia specifically for what we do, there is enormous talent base. And we found this through a near acquisition or merger that we did with another organization where 100-person organization all based in the US and all of their talent is in Argentina, Colombia, and I believe the third company is Peru, if I'm not mistaken.
Peru or Brazil, those are the usual suspects.
Not Brazil, because that's Portuguese and not as many English speaking, at least in his purview. I have not looked into Brazil specifically, but Argentina.
Brazil's great for engineers, software developers especially.
Yeah. Yeah. So the funny thing is our COO, he has a software company and he has set up a corporation inside Colombia. And there is actually a lot of stuff that you can do there, but you have to do it correct and legal and above board and so forth. But the point is we're going that direction because we are expanding, continuing to grow. And where is their talent that is cost efficient, but also super hungry and fulfills the core values that we're looking for? And South America is an emerging market for sure. Very cool that you're going down there.
Yeah. The other piece that I want to bring up, which might be an elephant in the room, and here's the thing, is we're opening up channels of communication here, Perpetual Traffic. And so if you want to join the conversation, you have something to say, check out our Telegram group. Go to perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. We want to talk about this. So yeah. If I'm about to offend somebody, hop in. I'd love to have a cordial, if not combative, conversation. Here's my opinion. I don't have access to the full spectrum of talent here in the States. Because if you take some of these top tier kids graduating from, and not just Ivy League schools, really, it's almost the entirety of the graduating class has the ability to go work for an Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Apple, Facebook, making, in most instances, more than a small business can afford to pay. Even if I could match the salary, you can't match the cachet. And that's what the younger folks want to do. So in so many instances, it's not even about the cost efficiency. As a matter of fact, what I have seen is some of the top tier talent in other countries approaches close to, if not the same cost that you'd expect to pay here in the States. So it's not just about saving money. It's about the accessibility of the talent and what your job could mean to them. Because if you do get your hooks into somebody here, and again, this is where I'm going to get yelled at, I don't think they really view it as the same level of opportunity. Their eyes are using you as a stepping stone so that they can get to one of the Fortune 500 or Fortune 1000. And folks from Latin America look at working for a US company the same way that somebody here would look at working for a Fortune 1000. And mm-hmm. you sort of want to be in that position as an employer. You want to be in a position where somebody feels like working with and for you is an opportunity. Yeah. And you can find
and
that in emerging markets.
To a certain degree. I think when we probably have the same or similar timelines as far as right after the 4-hour work week came out, like everyone was going to India. And we still have a team in India. That's great, especially on our Google side of the equation. But then, I mean, way prior to that, we built a Filipino team. And still to this day, like some of the people that started 15 years ago, Trish, I've mentioned her on the podcast a couple of times. She's been with me personally for 15 years. That's through a lot of shit in 15 years. Let me tell you, it's through like affiliates, me getting fired, the FTC investigation of like the super affiliates that I thought I was going to be a part of, and all these affiliate offers that sort of went down, and then building this thing back up from the ruins, from the Phoenix rises. I mean, the point is like she's been through a lot with me, and that Filipino market still is to this day, I think, a great market for certain types of tasks. I think the way that we're moving right now is more towards the South American model. One of the beauties of South America, and it's Colombia, Venezuela, Bolivia, Peru, is the four. We've been focused mostly on Colombia. So I'm looking at my South American map. But just because we know that there's a huge benefit to employing folks down there because of country-enabled benefits. And if you establish a corporation inside Colombia, which you do have to, it's a process. You have to invest in the country in order to reap the benefits. There is a
and it's very bureaucratic too. They make you jump through a lot of hoops. Very bureaucratic.
Yeah. So you do have to go down there. So I will be going down there. The fact that you're going to Venezuela, I'm really interested to see what that trip is all about.
I'm doing Argentina. I'm not doing Venezuela.
Argentina.
Yeah.
Not Venezuela.
Venezuela's a little rough at the moment. We looked at Venezuela too, and it just had some infrastructure issues, but that's also on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The other part to it, so I was trying to get to, is that same time zone.
Dude, there's a couple of reasons I really like Latin America, and I'm going to get sued for saying this. You know what? I think I'm allowed to say this, Ralph, okay? So if I get us into legal trouble, then I apologize dearly. My father has a South Asian accent. My father's Pakistani. So when my dad calls people, there's a, generally speaking, negative neuroassociation with the type of accent my father has because we're used to call centers. And Americans get real pissy with call centers. So Americans don't like Asian and East Asian accents, even if they don't like to admit it. I don't care how woke you are. If my dad calls you, in your mind, you're like, all right, what do you want, buddy?
There is a connotation.
100%. The Latin accent could be your next door neighbor. We're acclimated to it. And so the accents are more accessible. They're easier to understand, I think, for the American ear. Close to the same time zone. My new EA is in Buenos Aires, and I think she's 4 hours ahead of me. And then they celebrate the same holidays we do in the Western world, I should say, because like I've got a huge team in India at Solutions 8. And whenever they're working, we're off. And when we're working, they're off. And there's no alignment whatsoever. It's really helpful because culturally, the Latin American subgroup is really aligned. And so there's far less friction. And because we're doing a recruiting agency, it's less things to sell. You know what I mean? When I go to somebody who's looking for a VA, I don't have to explain cultural idiosyncrasies and the time zone change and language barriers. It's a lot easier to kind of plug and play. So I think Latin America works for a bunch of reasons. I've also, and I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but the Philippines for me ran dry the last couple of years. So many businesses rushed to the Philippines. Like T-Mobile went and put all of their call centers in the Philippines. So did GoDaddy. And so all of a sudden, where I used to be able to get a ton of really good Filipino applicants, the well started to run dry. And I've seen Latin America as something of, at the moment, especially a few of these countries, as a blue ocean. And yeah, dude, it's not just South America too. I mean, I've got, I think, 3 employees right now in Mexico. And there's a ton of expats in Mexico. Like, there's just a lot of really cool opportunities internationally if you're willing to pursue that.
Yeah. I mean, there is a financial benefit to this as well. 100%. Let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, we are in a business where it's highly, especially the agency business. I mean,
it's all labor. You're it's labor it's based. Like being in construction. It's a labor business, 100%.
Your cost of goods sold is your people.
Right.
It's not your shipping and your cost of your ingredients and your storage and your manufacturing. It's people. It's a people-based business. And with 88,000, we just revised this, by the way. There's a new study that came out that there's 88,000 agencies, 88,000 plus. I used to say there's 42,000. They recounted all single-man shops. There is more competition than I ever thought in our space. The American salary, back to your point, I have a son who's graduating from college this year. He's got 3 offers. They're all well into the 6 figures, and he's an electrical engineer. I mean, he's not a programmer, but he's got programming friends that are, every one of them is 6 figures plus. Unless you basically want to break even as an agency, if your people are costing you that much, it's 6 figures to
break even. I'd be hemorrhaging money.
Be hemorrhaging money. I think that's one of the challenges that a lot of agencies are, or a lot of service-based businesses are facing. Agencies just being one of them. So there is some cost efficiencies here, but...
Well, dude, retention's higher. For all my international employees, my retention's about double.
Yeah, interesting.
And the cost of trying to replace them and the client cost too in the agency space when you lose a critical employee. So it's the cost efficiencies there, but so too is the timeline. People tend to be a little more committed. And you will see if that remains true as some of their options expand and open up and more people become accessible to this idea. But it's still a really big deal in the short term.
Just for comparison's sake, I mean, the average annual salary in Colombia is about $14,000-$15,000. So if you're a slightly, I always say, like, what's the average salary in that country? And then if you can double it and or increase it above the average, where do you sort of stand?
Oh, dude, I want to be paying the most amount of money. And this is how you also...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to be predatory.
Yep.
I go in and I pay the most amount of money anybody in that market has ever paid ever. I'm talking, when I go to Buenos Aires, I'm talking to some universities about potentially recruiting some of their students. And I've been cautioned against the salary levels that we're offering. They're like, you're setting unrealistic expectations. And then I say, no, I'm not, because I'm going to take 1% of the applicants. I'm going to take the best of the best of the best of the best. Right. So I'm actually not even paying too much. I'm paying what the absolute best is worth. The name of our agency is Pareto Talent. It's a Pareto distribution. I want the best people and I'm going to pay them like they're the best, but then I'm going to demand the best. And part of it isn't, that doesn't mean they have to work an immense amount of hours. That means they have to work smart and focused while they're working. And I think especially with the proliferation of AI, good people are going to become so much more important because a good person is going to be amplified by a multiple. And so whatever number you're starting with, AI being the force multiplier, it becomes an exponential force multiplier, and bad people are going to be equally amplified. And so you need to be really careful about who you hire, who you bring on. The C's and the B's, and we actually had this funny, we had this conversation
with Neil Patel.
With Neil. And I understand where he's coming from, and I'm not bashing him at all. I'm a fan. But I think in this particular instance, man, I want to pay 10x what they could expect to make somewhere else. But then I want to take only the absolute cream of the crop, and I want to hold them to the highest standard.
A pluses.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And dude, you change people's lives.
You do. You transform their lives.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's one example of a billion, but there's a young man who works for me at Solutions 8. I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but he makes 9 times what somebody in his role would make outside of our agency. And I know this because I hired him away from a Google ad agency that subcontracts on behalf of Google. He makes 9 times. And I'll share some numbers. They were paying $500 a month for an entry-level specialist. He's making mm-hmm. $4,500 a month now. Here's what's interesting. He bought his parents the first house they've ever owned.
Yeah.
He bought his parents the first house the family's ever owned. He bought himself a badass motorcycle. Like he's living the dream. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And he manages one of my biggest clients. And he is a triple PhD assassin. Mm-hmm. Worth every penny I pay and more. And he's one example of, you know, when I sold Solutions 8, we had almost 100 employees. So pay, because you can't afford to, pay so much more than the market might be willing to bear, but then hold the line and make sure your expectations are high.
I think the flip side of that is that you want to pay more, but you only pay more for the absolute best of the best.
Correct.
Which goes back to the hiring process has to be really dialed in.
That's exactly right.
And I know we both brag about our hiring processes.
Yeah, I got the best hiring process in the whole world.
I've got the best hiring process.
My hiring process will eat your hiring.
My hiring process will kill your process every time.
We've got to do a hire off.
It's good. A hire off. Yeah.
We'll both go try to hire for the same role, and then we'll pit those people together or against each other, and we'll see like who wins the death match.
Well, maybe when you start your personnel agency, we'll just sort of have to hire some of those people and see if they're actually up to snuff.
See if they can do the job. We're only doing VAs to start, but we'll do more specialized roles someday.
My point is that you can go higher in the market and not blow the market out if you're getting the best of the best of the best. And you have a really good filtration process to get to that point. So, for example, we just hired a new client success owner. I was her fifth interview after 500 applicants and 5 other steps. Like I was almost apologetic by the time I get on the phone with her. And she's great. I mean, she's starting like in a week or so. But my interview is like a stamp of approval, like making sure the values are there, making sure she understands the vision. Like I trust my team inherently to be able to get to that point. Do we need 5 interviews? Well, this is probably the most important position that we have inside Tier 11. Second only to our VP of marketing, of course, because Tom Meredith is listening. Just because Tom is listening here quietly in the background. And he's got our website that's going to be live on March 1st, which is fabulous now that I've announced it to the world.
I'm so excited about that.
No pressure on Tom at all.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the point was, is like we got to this point and she is absolutely amazing. And we have another client success owner that we went through the same process. And she has been tremendous. And we sort of patterned it after her and then found this other individual because it's a relatively new role. We've restructured a few things. The point is like we're hiring her at the top of the market for sure. But the point is our hiring process got to the point where we got the absolute best, literally 500 applicants down to 3. We hired one really. And the second one, we might hire sort of at a later date.
Yeah, but you have to pay the most in order to put people through those hoops. Nobody's going to show up to a fifth interview unless the job is an aspirational job.
The payoff has got to be there. And I think that is absolutely the case in that, you know, if you're overpaying in some of those more developed countries, or how do we say this? Not developed countries, but South America.
We call them emerging nations.
Emerging nations.
Yeah, is the phrase
that we're going to piss somebody off somewhere.
My wife has a degree in international human rights, and she says that's the nomenclature. So we've got a stamp of approval from somebody who knows.
I didn't even write it down. So I'm just going to say South America from here on out. But you can do that without blowing out the market. And I think the market got blown out a bit in India and in the Philippines.
Well, dude, I say God bless them because I've had people challenge me on that too. They're like, oh, what happens when you go there and you pay too much and it poisoned the well for the rest of us and all of us have to pay more? And I'm like, good. What happens when you have to pay poor people more money? Like, oh.
Business is competitive.
Right.
I mean, we all have the abundance mindset here, but business at the end of the day is competitive. And if you can hire labor that's half the cost, even 3/4 of the cost, that gives you a competitive advantage. And if they're the best of the best of the best, how much greater all of a sudden are you as an organization?
100%. Like,
are you American, you know, because you're hiring people in South America? You know, I don't think those were American there, cousin.
I still feel American.
I feel American because like I pay my tax dollars.
Here's the thing about American. America was founded on a system of meritocracy. Right.
Yes.
Like really at our root,
correct.
It's like what's best, what's top, what's fastest, what's strongest, what
Darwinism of capitalism.
You swear to God, one of our top entrepreneurial heroes is Elon Musk.
Yeah.
That dude is as American as somebody could possibly get.
But he's not American.
American, you know what I mean? But we don't care. We're like, oh, the minute you've done what he did, we stamp just American on his back, with or without his approval. Right. So no, I think doing what works, that's American. I think trying to be nimble and solve problems and be ambitious. What is this weird entitlement that we've moved into?
I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't feel red, white, and blue to me at all.
You know what it actually does? Like, we're 90%, I would say 80% American-based companies that we serve. What we're trying to do is help them scale and grow, and ultimately, they need to be purpose-driven, and we want to help them achieve their vision. That's pretty American, helping them do that. The means in which we do that is we hire the best talent wherever we can find it.
Right.
That's incredibly American, I think. But I'm not going to like get on the national soapbox here because, I mean, I love the United States, don't get me wrong. But my point is, it's like, I'm here to grow a business and help my clients. And if that by extension helps America, that's great. We're not like America first, and that's like our goal as an organization. Maybe we would have like a different kind of company if that was the case. My point is like, we want to help purpose-driven businesses achieve their vision. And we happen to do that with the best talent we can find anywhere. And that includes people in South America. That includes people in the Philippines. That includes India. We've got 28 countries at Tier 11. Like, we're totally, totally international. We have an entire other division in Serbia. We haven't even talked about Eastern Europe. Yeah. That talent pool there, especially on the dev side.
Dude, Bulgaria, best employee I ever Romania. Got in my entire life came out of Ukraine. I got, oh, he's here God. Now. He lives here. He's amazing.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I met him. He's amazing. Like, he's, we have amazing. A scrum master who's from Ukraine. She's incredible.
Yeah. Most blunt humans I've ever met in my entire life.
Love it.
Yeah, I do too. He's just like, here's what you suck at. And I'm like, thank you very much for your very honest feedback.
I appreciate your candor. You know, yeah. If you were an insecure, prima donna entrepreneur, that would piss you off. But like, what you want as an entrepreneur is you want the best organization you can possibly build. And you do that with whatever talent. And sometimes that means radical candor, which is one of our five core values. And I love that. I love radical candor. When somebody tells me I suck, I'm like, really? How so? If I was totally insecure, that would be a different story. So,
yeah, insecure entrepreneurs make less money.
Yes, they do. They're less successful. Probably have less impact. It's my guess. That's right. All right. Well, that is this week's show. We are. we didn't talk anything about traffic.
If you enjoyed the conversation and you want to contribute, go to our Telegram group, perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. Let us know what you think. Ralph and I are in there on a daily basis, and so we'll, chop it up, chat it up. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, as we always say here, leave a review or a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Apparently, we're lagging a bit on the Spotify app. Oh, Kasim, did you know this?
I did not.
The kids, yeah.
The chillins.
The chillins, yeah. They're not listening to us on Spotify. So if you especially leave a review over on Spotify and start listening on Spotify. And I'm going to migrate all my podcasts over to Spotify now that I know this little piece of data.
Yeah, on you us. Give us course, that one listener.
Bump. Give that one more listener to put us over the top. And of course, you can always watch us over on our YouTube channel. That's perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. Make sure you follow us on all the socials. Myself over on LinkedIn. I've been doing a lot of guitar solos these days.
Dude, I watch LinkedIn. Your solos. I watch them on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're great.
It's good. It's just like whatever. I just put up the camera and I just play.
Riff.
Yeah. So people seem to like it for whatever reason. So if you want to see some guitar solos or whatever, head on over to my Facebook or I post them on LinkedIn. Kasim is on all the socials as well at Kasim Aslam. And of course, all the resources that we mentioned here on today's show, Columbia average annual salary in dollars, we'll put that one in there, are over at perpetualtraffic.com as per usual. So on behalf of my awesome co-host, Kasim Aslam.
Peace.
Until next show. See ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic.